text that I was given for the devotion was Psalm 46, verse 4. And if you know anything about Psalm 46, it was what inspired Luther to write, "A mighty fortress is our God," in the midst of the height of the bubonic plague in 1527. So the verse 4 says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, Jerusalem the golden, the people of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." So that hymn is about you and how much God loves his elect. From the Revelation 21, we hear these words, "And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See or behold, I am making all things new.' Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have always been, you still are, and you will always be. Father, your Son Jesus has always been, is now, and will always be. Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit always was, is now, and shall always be. And Lord, this gives us great comfort because you have called us to be part of that great company of heaven. So Father, open our ears and our hearts now that we may receive that word of love from you to us, your promises that sustain us to life everlasting. Lord, we thank you and we can't wait to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't we just adore things that are shiny and new? Our children's eyes light up with excitement as they contemplate new treasures teasingly concealed at the foot of the Christmas tree. Their very short-lived human nature loves the next new thing. In this respect, we're all like children because we demand instant gratification, the latest news, and we're easily distracted by the many inventions of the hour. Novelty always fascinates. And at the same time, we worship a God who is unchanging and whose years have no end. And it's true that in some matters, old is better. For example, the old gospel is the newest thing in the world. By its very essence, it's forever good news. Where things relate to God, the new is always old. Man constantly strives to concoct a new doctrine or a new truth, but it's soon discovered that the new dogma is only a worn-out heresy, cleverly rebadged. In the matters of greatest importance, truth and godliness, you'll always find, as Ecclesiastes tells us, that there is nothing new under the sun. That doesn't leave us without hope. We suffer so much from the evil embedded in our nature, the sins of our old life and past, the torments of the old temptations, that we're not distressed by the belief that old things are passing away. Our heads lift and hope excites our souls at this utterance from the lips of our risen and reigning Lord. "See, I am making all things new." It's fitting and right, as we say, that our old sinful nature should make way for holiness and righteousness. These words are truly divine. "Behold, I am making." Who is this great I? Who else but the eternal Son of God? Who can make but God, the maker or creator of heaven and earth? It's his prerogative and his alone to make and destroy. "Behold, I am making all things. This is an emphatic, all-encompassing all. Nothing escapes the sphere of God's creative will. Behold, I am making all things new. Behold, I am shining the splendor of my goodness into your souls. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us into your new creation. Thank you for allowing us to be made new alongside all things. Thank you for the marvel of your renewing love. This renewing work has been in our Lord's hands from ancient times. We were under the old covenant, which our first father, Adam, broke. The old covenant basically said, if you keep my commands, you and all your descendants will live. But if you eat of the tree which I have forbidden, you and all generations that follow will surely die, we hear from Genesis 2. We yielded to deception and temptation, leaving us broken, wounded, even slain by the fall, evicted from the Garden of Eden, destroying our communion with God and each other. We died in Adam spiritually, leaving us bound to evil, which reigned in our flesh. We were like the deserted infant described in Ezekiel chapter 16, unswaddled, unwashed, abhorred, and left to die. But thankfully, Jesus passed by and saw our pitiful condition. In his wondrous love, our Lord Jesus protected us under a new covenant, a covenant in which he became the second Adam, a covenant in which he met the demands of God's perfect law, obediently shed his blood that we may not perish. And we now live because he is risen. Now that our Lord Jesus has fulfilled the covenant contract and lives, we enjoy a guarantee of pure promise, without condition or risk. We can't invalidate this new covenant because it never depended on us in the first place, only on Jesus, who is our judgment before God. The demand was made of Jesus, and he met it. Jesus took on and completed our side of the ledger, and now debts have all been erased. All that remains are unconditional promises which are guaranteed to all who follow him. Today we're under the new covenant which says, I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. I will remember their sins no more. We hang on to them. God doesn't. It's not do and live, but live and do. We don't think in terms of merit and reward, but of free grace, producing holy practice out of hearts overflowing with joy and thanksgiving. This was the theme of our pastor's conference, was living water, that constant flowing stream of God's grace that overwhelms us, bubbles up in our hearts and pours out with joy and thanksgiving. Jesus has blazed a path for us to a new way of life. Behold, I am making all things new. The old way of life was keep the commandments and live. The law is perfect, holy, just, and good. But, dear saints, you and I have broken the commandments. We can't say that we've kept the commandments from our youth like the rich young man in Matthew 19. On the contrary, our consciences compel us to confess that we have continually broken the law of God. This puts us under sin and condemnation, and there's no hope for us by the works of the law. This is why the gospel, this is why Jesus opens up another way. By grace you have been saved through faith, not the results of works. I love how Paul puts that in there. You've been saved by grace through faith, a gift from God, not by the works of the law. And we hear the one who believes and is baptized, no work there. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, Mark 16. Romans 1, the one who is righteous isn't the one who gives the most to charity, isn't the one who runs around doing all the good deeds, isn't the one who builds the most orphanages. The one who is righteous will live by faith. The faith comes first. All of those other things flow out of faith. We are justified by faith. We're made acceptable to God by faith. To be justified means being made truly righteous. Though we were guilty in ourselves, we are regarded as just by virtue of what Christ has done for us. We fell into condemnation through the first Adam, and we rise into justification through the second Adam, Jesus. It's written in Isaiah chapter 53, "The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." Of course, he's writing about Jesus. This scripture is fulfilled in all those who believe in the Lord Jesus to eternal life. Our path to eternal glory is the road of faith. The one who is righteous will live by faith. This was the great breakthrough for Martin Luther. Luther agonized. He almost went insane, wrestling with God. He said, "God, you are a devil. How can you possibly expect me, a sinner, to fulfill perfectly the commands, the laws?" God, he raged. And then the Holy Spirit led Luther to that verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The one who is righteous will live by faith. And wow, look at what flowed from Luther's pen after that. 120 volumes in the Weimar edition in the Sem Library if you're bored at midnight and you've got insomnia. We're accepted by God when we believe in Jesus, whom God sent to be our righteousness. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Paul again, Romans chapter 3. Then he goes on. But we are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. I love that word, atonement. If you break it down, it's at-one-ment. And that's what it means. We are made one by Christ's sacrifice. By grace, God draws every believer into a new relationship with him. Rejoice in this fact, saints. You are no longer a slave. You are no longer bound in chains to Satan. No longer. You're no longer a slave, but a child. A child of God. And if a child, then also an heir through God, through Christ. Behold, I am making all things new, says Jesus. And then he makes us children of our dear Abba Father. He drowns the old Adam in us in the waters of baptism and raises us to new life with Jesus and the gift of faith. A new creation, beheld and beloved by God. We're no longer slaves working for servant wages, because our Father says to us, "You are mine. You are precious in my sight. I love you, and all that I have is yours. We have his all-sufficient self for our everlasting lives. What a gracious God. God will never kick us out of the house. Father God has never disowned one of his children, not one. His loving heart is bound up in those he has adopted. That dear and intimate relationship which is manifested in adoption and regeneration binds you, the children of God, to our great Father's heart in such a way that he'll never cast you off, nor suffer you to perish. I rejoice in the fact that we're being made new, transformed by Christ's love into the newly minted family of God, the Most High. Behold, says Christ, I am making all things new. Saints, our future is not only assured, it's glorious. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who is making all things new. Amen.